through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena, Tim.
Morena.
How are you?
I'm okay. How you doing?
Good. It's a busy old week for local and international politics and media.
It certainly is.
We've been sort of distracting ourselves by talking about the Bird of the Year competition all morning, and we were just talking off air about the kotare, which is a beautiful kingfisher, native kingfisher, eating a skink. They're pretty tough little cookies.
I saw one yesterday at my house, and I was buzzed out because I don't think I've seen one before.
They're beautiful. You get heaps of them in the South Island, but I think you do get heaps of them up here too. So
it's real pretty.
Yeah, they're very shiny.
I live
shiny
close
blue
to Western Springs, so we get some pretty cool birds. But what are those ones that, like, it's an Australian parrot and it's real colourful just came here and proliferated?
Yeah, I don't know, but I see them on my lockdown walks as well.
They are very sweet, aren't they?
They're cool, but I assume probably bad
pests,
for the environment.
Probably terrible for the environment.
Well, of course, the biggest news out today is that the nominees for the New Zealand TV Personality of the Year 2020 have been published. Finalists include Hilary Barry, Kim Crossman, Wendy Petrie, and Dr. Ashley Bloomfield.
Really?
Yeah.
As a TV personality?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
You sound stoked about that.
What's the criteria there?
You have to have been on the TV.
That's probably it.
Right.
I look at the celebritization, if that's a word, of politicians
public
and public
servants
in other countries, and I go, no good will come of this.
It's not a good road to trot too far down.
Absolutely not. We should hide Ashley Bloomfield away, like all those other great, boring Wellington bureaucrats, away from the public
just
as soon as
job.
Possible.
Let them
do it in the shadows.
He probably has a real chance of winning as
he
well.
He probably does, which I think is terrible. But yeah, just because, like, that, anyway, it doesn't matter.
I know what you're saying here. I get what you're saying. It is a tricky thing when someone just needs to do their job, especially in a crisis.
Exactly.
You don't
want
to put too many pedestals up.
That's it. Of course, the other massive story that everybody is talking about today is that Waitomo's District Council have adopted a new media policy, which effectively is like restricting transparency for their councillors. This is really weird. So the councillors themselves voted 5-1 to adopt this new policy, and it gives them not only the ability but sort of the inclination to direct any journalists' questions at the Waitomo District Councillors to comms staff at the council. And this has all happened because they basically had a stoush with the mayor, John Robertson, around a rates freeze during COVID-19.
Right.
The mayor was like, we should have a rates freeze to help our people out. The councillors disagreed with that because of budgetary reasons. And the mayor, who's quite prolific on social media, and the councillors don't really use it that much, he sort of suggested which way the councillors were going to vote before the vote happened, which was like
maybe not a good
slightly
idea.
Inappropriate. And as a result, they've like adopted this new policy where now the councillors have recommended that if you're going to talk to the media, you actually shift it off to your comms staff, which I think at a local government level is terrible.
Who says local government's not interesting? Honestly, that's where all the drama happens.
This is it. The thing to remember, and I think, like, particularly on a day like today when we're looking at the US presidential election, the stuff that actually affects your life, generally speaking, happens at the local government level.
Totally.
Like, that's way more consequential to people's lives, and no one really pays attention to it.
And the voting statistics are so low for
terrible
local body elections.
It is shocking.
Yeah.
Because it's not sexy. We got to find a way to make local body politics sexy.
I was really excited by the last local election.
Good on you.
Yeah. Well,
Tess.
We got to bring the energy that we have for big, you know, international and local elections to our local levels as well. And student levels, I would argue. If you are a student, you should be a member of your student union and you should vote, because that is a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Bring back, get rid of voluntary student membership, I say.
The special votes are out today. for New Zealand's general election. Wait, is that true?
Not.
No, that's not true. It's a Friday, isn't it?
I was like, hang on, I've lost 2 days of the week here.
Yeah, true. Imagine that. Imagine if it was. Anyway, so that's happening on Friday, and there's 8 electoral seats that were won by fewer than 1,000 votes, so like kind of vaguely in contention. The most significant one is Wairiki, which could switch from the Māori Party's only seat that they currently have in government from Wairiki, is that how you say his name? YTT to Labour's Tamati Coffey. And they would, I don't know, according to me and a lot of other people, we kind of stink because, like, Labour have had such a massive win. And I think Tamati gets in on the list anyway, though I don't know his list position off the top of my head. And I think having the Māori Party, having a voice in Parliament is kind of almost unanimously seen as a good thing. So, wash a desk space. Also, the cannabis referendum. I have not given up hope. I refuse to.
Fingers crossed.
We only need a mere swing of 67.5% of the special votes going in the favour of yes. And to be honest, craziest shit has happened.
In this election cycle
Isn't
as well.
This, exactly. Yeah. Really similar to what happened with the alcohol prohibition.
In what way?
As well, that it was a vote
very, very tight, yeah, and it rested on specials.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
And then it switched. The vote switched.
1913, I believe. Mm. Someone fact checked me on this.
Oh, so that's bloody good.
And I think all the it was a slightly different situation though. They were voting to basically keep it the way it was. They were trying to bring in prohibition, and then all these votes from
soldiers
came
from
in.
World
and
War
like, One. No.
We need our whiskey, please.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
It's happened before.
It has happened before. Speaking of our national election, the cabinet got decided and published the other day. Nanaia Mahuta has probably made the most headlines both locally and internationally by becoming our first woman foreign affairs minister. And yeah, it's been quite interesting seeing the commentary on media around the world about that. NPR had a headline which was New Zealand appoints first Indigenous female foreign minister. Hong Kong's newspaper of record was a little more on the nose. The South China Morning Post said New Zealand gets its first gay deputy prime minister, foreign minister with a facial tattoo. That was literally the headline. Not great.
No.
There's also a story that people may have seen of a New Zealand author who just basically had a bit of a racist tirade on Twitter, and in response, Mighty Ape, which is kind of like our version of Amazon a little bit, they got asked by some people online to remove her book, and they were like, yeah, totally, done.
Whoa!
So that did. Everyone's like, shit, yeah, it's cool.
That shit hardly ever happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's kind of cool. And I guess the only other little thing going on today is the US presidential election.
Just a small matter.
This is a biggie. Almost 100 million Americans have already voted early, which is 3/4 of the entire voting population of 2016.
Awesome.
So people have been rightly very scared that they won't be able to get to the polls on election day, which is today. The previous record for voter turnout was the last election, 2016. There was about 139 million people who voted, which is not a great turnout in terms of eligible voters. I think it's slightly under 50%.
Far out.
But this election is expected to smash that. I've just been going through the model on 538, and if you're going like...
What is 538?
Oh, sorry, okay. 538 is a website started by a guy, a statistician called Nate Silver, who correctly predicted Obama's win really accurately, and the composition of the states voting for the houses of... the Senate and the House of Representatives. And so he built this whole like website and apparatus around him to predict elections and sports betting and that kind of stuff called 538.
Okay.
538 refers to how many electoral votes make up the Electoral College in total in America. So 538 is predicting there's a 3 in 4 chance that the Democrats are going to take the Senate, which is kind of the most significant thing. There's a 9 in 10 chance that Biden will win, so the Democrats will take the White House, and a above 9 in 10 chance that the Dems will retain the House of Representatives, the Congress. So if that did come to pass and they had all three centres of power, the Dems could potentially get quite a lot done. Trump is threatening to declare victory early and basically lawyering up, which we have seen in our lifetimes before. This was a little bit what happened in 2000, though it wasn't like as pre-planned.
I'm not going to lie to you, my memories of 2000 are a little bit foggy, so if you could fill us in there.
Super briefly, so George W. Bush was going against Al Gore. It was incredibly tight. It came all down to Florida. Mm-hmm. It came down to, from memory, like a few hundred votes. They were doing a recount, and then Roger Stone was actually pretty instrumental in ordering this run on the election officials who were doing the recount, and they had to cancel it because it was so chaotic. Went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decided in favour of George W. Bush, and that is how we got the Iraq and Afghanistan wars.
Grim.
So, like, these things are pretty consequential, and yeah, we'll be watching with bated breath. What, the most significant state to watch, by the way, if you're a big old nerd like me, Texas. They've already surpassed their 2016 total voted turnout, just in early voting. It's worth 38 electors, which is the second highest in America after California, which is worth 55. So it's super consequential.
Yeah.
The Dems have been talking for years and years and years about how it could switch, that it's a so-called purple state. So this time they might actually do it. And if they did, that would be hugely significant.
Far out.
Quick question.
Yeah.
When are we expecting to see the results? Is it a week from now?
This is the big question. So the honest answer is no one flipping knows how this one's going to go. No one really knows. I think what's going to happen is we're going to get a bulk of results today. Mm. If it looks like it's in favor of Trump, he's going to declare victory and throw absolutely everything, because he's packed the Supreme Court now, at trying to stop anyone doing anything else. I don't know. No one knows what's going to happen. I don't think we're going to get a definitive result today. No one's expecting that. But we are expecting Trump to pretend like it is one, if it goes his way.
Well, we will just have to strap ourselves in, because I think this is going to be a bit of a wild ride for quite some time.
Whiskey up, gang.
Thank you very much, Tim. Have a lovely morning. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM. And